Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, star seeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Can you believe that it is basically April when this comes out? I mean, like, it's a couple days before April, but whatever. I cannot wrap my brain around the fact that 3 months have gone by in 2024 already, that we are entering the second quarter of the year. And I know that that quarter is going to fucking fly by too. And all of a sudden it's going to be the middle of summer. And then all of a sudden it's going to be October. I don't know how you are all handling it. How are you all handling it? Feel free to email me and tell me. Because like I just feel like my head is spinning all the time with the speed at which our chronological experience of time is passing. But also everything's okay. You know, I'm not complaining. I just am like, what? We're in April already. So I'm being very cash about the monthly energy reports this year because, to be honest, I'm just really not feeling it. I think that the era of energy reports is coming to an end. Now, is that the era of energy reports in terms of Amy or the era of energy reports in terms of the whole collective? I don't know. But it kind of feels like, you know, around, you know, when the big COVID happened, and all of a sudden, everybody was like, oh my God, what's going on? And there was this big blossoming of energy reports and this big, like, suddenly people like myself were like, oh my God, it's like cue, that's my cue to enter stage right. Or is it enter stage right? I don't know. Anyway, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, time to come forward and start speaking and describing the energy as I'm feeling it. And I still love doing that. I still have my weekly energy reports that I adore so much. But I feel like the period in which many, many, many of us were going to the YouTube or the Instagram or wherever the fuck we consume energy reports to like get an update from our favorite channel or whomever about what's going on like in the collective, I feel like that is winding down. I just feel like it's not as needed anymore. Not because the energies aren't crazy. They continue to be totally crazy, but it's like we've adjusted to this level of crazy is maybe part of it. And also I think because for so many of us, like what we're really being invited to step into is a return home to our own internal authority. And like you all have the ability to feel into the energy as much as I do. And that is part of the beauty of energy reports is the confirmation and validation. Like my favorite part about doing the weekly energy reports that I do is sending them out and then getting like replies. Like I send out an email every week and with a picture of the cards and a little quick, you know, written summary. And then I also record a little like 20 to 40 minute usually energy report, audio energy report. Anyway, and then I ask people to let me know like how it's landing, what they're thinking. And so that means I get, you know, a sprinkling of beautiful emails from people who are replying and saying, oh my God, this is so resonant. Oh my God, this is lining up so much. I just love that. But I also love how much confidence everybody is getting in their own ability to read the energy for themselves. It's exciting to me. Anyway, I didn't intend to go on this little diversion track about energy reports. All I wanted to say is that the card that I pulled back in January for the month of April is the Strength card. And that is a major arcana card. So basically, the way that I interpret the strength card is pretty standard. It's like a digging down or tapping down deeper into the well of our own personal strength and power. And strength and power does not mean power over somebody else. And it doesn't even necessarily mean strength in the face of adversity or crisis. Of course, that is often when it's summoned to the surface, but it doesn't have to be triggered. Like, our strength doesn't have to be triggered by a crisis scenario. It's digging down deeper into ourselves, tapping deeper into this core. It's like a molten core of personal strength and power. And this is a very important theme right now because we are still in the process of now living out the quantum leap that I felt and reported on, shared on the podcast, shared on my Instagram back in September with the autumn equinox, when I realized, like, oh fuck, we're all making a big quantum leap right now, and a whole bunch of lower octave timelines are collapsing, and we're kind of like having to jump to a new higher timeline because the old ones are disappearing. So we're still, it's like we've landed, you know, we've landed in the new timeline, but it's not like that means that everything instantly manifests all at once. When you land in the new timeline, you need a minute. It's kind of like if you're traveling and you've never been to, I don't know, let's just say, let's take LA, because I'm planning on taking my son to LA, my oldest child, and I'm so intimidated by it. I'm not going to lie. I'm so intimidated by it because it's such a huge city and I've never been there before. And it is a different country, even though Canada and US are, like, you know, practically the same country in so many ways. We also are different countries. And it just, I feel a lot of stress about it. Anyway, so when I, like, let's say I'm a road tripper. I fucking hate flying, which is even stressing me out more. Let's say that I fly to LA and, you know, I touch down at LAX and I'm in the airport. Like, it's like I've quantum leapt, okay? So now I'm in LA, which is representing the new timeline. But I'm, like, the trip isn't over. The whole trip itself hasn't manifested. Like, I'm only at the airport. And it is going to take some time for me to adjust to the new energy. Even just the airport is going to be such a huge energetic adjustment. A huge, massive energetic adjustment. It, like, the whole process of getting out of the airport and then figuring out how to get to the hotel or the Airbnb or my friend's house or wherever I'm gonna end up going from there, that's going to be a huge process. And I'm using this to illustrate, like, we have landed in the new timeline. We are in the process of fucking adjusting to this new timeline. And there are still huge changes that are being called through us and to us as we calibrate into this new timeline that we've landed in. Another example would be, like, let's say you're not just traveling to LA, you're moving to LA. Let's say you're relocating. Let's not even say LA, because I know some of you who are listening are in LA. Let's take somewhere that most likely none of us live, or very few of us who are listening live. Tokyo. Let's say that you're moving sight unseen to Tokyo. You have never even been there, ever, and you're moving there now. Can you imagine? Like, the adjustment period is huge. It's massive. And that's where we are in the quantum leap. It's like we are still at the airport. Maybe we've made it to the hotel or the Airbnb or whatever. But, like, we're still reeling. We don't know. Like, we haven't found our favorite restaurants yet. We haven't found our favorite neighborhood. We don't even know our neighborhood yet. We don't know where we're getting our groceries. We don't know the customs. We don't know the language. We don't know the culture. Maybe we do know the language. Maybe it's not a foreign language. It doesn't matter. It's still, like, a huge adjustment period. So the strength card is representing the need to like drill down into this molten core of power. It's like, fucking access your inner dragon right now, okay? It is the year of the wood dragon. Wood is a very stable earth energy. So this is like a stabilization of this massive power. We always have this massive power. It lives within us, but we have, for a whole number of reasons that I don't really want to go down this rabbit hole right now, because this is not a solo episode. This is just turning into a rambly introduction. But we have been terrorized away from that power. We have chosen to reject that power. We have been conned out of that power. But we still hold this huge, huge molten core of power. It's like we don't realize that we are the dragons. We actually are dragons. And there is a reservoir of fire living inside of us, deep inside of our bellies. So the strength card is really representing that. And furthermore, the reason that we need to access this strength at a deeper level and really anchor it in right now, in the absence of a crisis. I mean, maybe you have a crisis situation going on in your life, in which case that is probably a trigger in order to, you know, incite you to dig deep into this well of power that you hold within, this well of strength. And not only resilience, but like fucking badassery. Like, I wouldn't call a dragon resilient. I would call a dragon a fucking force of nature, badass, you know? So it's not resilience like life, you know, beats the shit out of me and then I get back up again. I'm resilient. It's like, I am a dragon. I don't, like, there is no... I don't just lie down and die. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway, I'm kind of all over the map here. But the point I'm trying to make is that it feels very much to me like energetically, I don't feel around the strength card that this is coupled with a big global crisis or even necessarily a lot of personal individual crisis. But, you know, that will vary according to everybody's unique situation. But the whole reason that we are being initiated right now into accessing this level of strength and power that we carry internally is because we are integrating a quantum leap. And so we are also being sort of like the quantum leap is, it involves a tremendous amount of growth, a tremendous amount of self-actualization, self-realization. Again, it carries on with the theme of, holy shit, I'm remembering who I really am, or I'm deeply understanding who I really am. I am like getting clarity about like, oh my God, this is why this has been happening, or oh my God, this is what I'm here to do. Or that's why I lived through that horrible thing, because now I need to help people through what I learned as I lived through that horrible thing, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? A lot of that is coming in for people right now, and it's amazing, and it's so exciting. And it is a huge feat to then step into that and become that in an embodied way, like living it out, sharing it with the world. There's just a lot of growth that is coming for us, and that growth requires us to sort of like, it kind of feels like as I'm speaking, I'm getting this mental image of sending our taproot really deep down into the earth, down into the molten core, and anchoring ourselves like very deeply. And being able to draw from that, like, I don't know, it doesn't have to be the earth. It's still this reservoir of inner power. But it's like we need to be anchored into that in order to meet the challenges, the growth challenges, and the calibration challenges that come with this quantum leap. Quantum leaping sounds super sexy when people are on the internet being like, oh my God, I quantum leapt my life and I like started making $1 million in my business and I bought a house in Topanga Canyon and I don't know, wherever people in Costa Rica, like wherever people want to live. Guaranteed that person is having a bunch of crises in their personal life though, because the amount of identity shifting and the calibration process to all that change is so intense and also kind of feels relentless in a way. Like you get little breaks from it, but it feels like big waves of change crashing over you. And you're this piece of beach glass that is being like reshaped by all of these waves. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, this is not the most articulate energy report that I've ever done. But like I said, I'm feeling very cash about the monthly energy reports right now. However, guess what? Okay, May and I have worked together to turn my weekly energy reports into a private podcast, which is really exciting because that means that you just subscribe once and you get all of the, like, it's like literally getting a second podcast. They are energy reports insofar as I still pull cards and I still like use those as a jumping off point to bring through the guidance. But basically it's like weekly Akashic guidance. Weekly Akashic guidance, that's what it is. It's timeless. It doesn't, you know, you could subscribe and then get all of the previous energy reports and you could binge the shit out of them if you want. Or you could just let yourself, when you're feeling a little bit crisis-y or a little bit uncertain and you're like, oh, I feel like I need some guidance. You could just pick a random energy report from the past and it will be the exact right one for you with the exact right messages for you. So it's still free. It's a really big commitment. It was hard to figure out the workaround for that because Spotify, which is, I don't know, I started my podcast with Anchor back when Anchor was Anchor, and then it was bought by Spotify and turned into Spotify for Podcasters. And they don't believe in free private podcasts apparently at all. They only believe in paid private podcasts. So we had to put our brains together to come up with a solution. But I really like that you can just easily like access it. You just get auto updated every week when the new episode comes out. I'll still send an email with a picture of the cards and a little quick written summary because extra activations come through whenever I'm summarizing it in written form. But it's free. And it's just, you know, it really is because I fucking love you and I want to give you as much value as I possibly can at no cost to you. So there's that. And then also, I just did the Spirit Guides Masterclass and it was so good. I'm so happy with the way that it went. Guys, I can't even tell you the weeks and hours of work that I put into that to make it, like, my intention was that it is not just another piece of internet garbage fluff about spirit guides, that it is an actual valuable thing where you can learn and walk away with a connection to your spirit guides and walk away furthermore with a process to be able to build your connection with your spirit guides and then lots of background information and expanded understanding about what spirit guides really are, how they communicate, what they can do for us, what they cannot do for us. Like it was so much. And there was a time for half an hour of Q&A at the end. I wish there had been more, but my presentation was so long. And the feedback that I got was just really rewarding because the people who did ask and share their experiences, like I took us through a little process, a very abbreviated little process, and people still got so many connections. And people shared with me that they got connections and clarity about their spirit guide, even just listening to the presentation part, not even in the process. So I'm so proud of it. And then I created some extra little goodies to go with it. So it's not just the recording of the masterclass, but there's also a couple extra little things in there to make it feel like, you know, a really robust little, it really was more of like a workshop, but whatever. Anyways, I even did a PowerPoint presentation. I know they're not called PowerPoints anymore. Whatever. I made a presentation. I've been trying to do that lately. It's a lot of work for me, I'm not going to lie. But I love the way it looks. I'm so happy with it afterwards. Anyway, so it's not just a talking head masterclass either. I really tried to succinctly organize it and so that you could like follow along and take notes and, you know, whatever. Anyhow, because I'm so happy with it and because it's almost the end of March, I am leaving it priced at $77 until the 31st, okay? So through to the end of the month, you can get it for $77, and then it is going to live on my website for sale at $222. And if you could have been a fly on the wall in my office and seen the hours and weeks of work I put into it, you would not question that it is like it will futurely be priced at $222. It was an enormous, enormous amount of work to prepare, but I loved doing it. So you can get it for $77, super easy, super accessible, because I fucking love you. And I know you can't all shell out a grand to join one of my bigger programs. I get it. And I do want to create things that are accessible for many, many, many more people. It is my ultimate goal, but it's just something that I have to work towards. It's not something that I can, you know, really afford to do as my main bread and butter right now because of the size of my audience and the size of my business. Anyways, to which the conversation that I'm sharing with you today is between myself and May. The May from Team Amy. You may recognize her if you have ever corresponded with me, especially through email, but also possibly through Instagram DMs, because sometimes she helps me there too. And you will recognize her as, "Hi, May from Team Amy here," with a little waving emoji. That's the May that I am talking to today. May is the best. We've been working together for 2 years now, and I'm so grateful for her every single day. It's just me and her. Like, I work in smaller ways with other people. Like, I work with a woman, Dagmara, who helps me with keeping my finances organized. I work with MJ to help me audit and improve my courses. But May is like my main, like my other person. She and I are not like, this is my business. We're not business partners. I pay her as an independent contractor. She's not an employee either, but she does a huge amount of work for me. May is the person that helps you with all the customer support. She is the tech genius of this operation. She has saved my butt, like pretty much on a daily basis, I would say for sure on a weekly basis when it comes to random tech bullshit that I can't figure out. I have some kind of like handicap or dyslexia kind of situation with tech. I just can't. It's so, so hard for me. It's so challenging. And May saves my butt with all of that on the regular. I can't tell you, before we started working together, I wanted to pull my hair out all the time. I don't even think I would still be doing any of this right now if it wasn't for the amazing work that May does to help me. Anyways, we talked about all kinds of things. We talked about, you know, like some of the behind the scenes stuff in this business to help you better understand when you have questions or, you know, when you have tech difficulties or whatever. But also it's going to be an interesting glimpse. If any of you are wanting to start a business of your own someday, there'll be some really interesting, juicy things in this conversation for you. But also, of course, we talk about May's spiritual journey, and the Akasha, because May also reads the Akashic records for those who are in the loop. But yeah, it's a great conversation. I hope you will listen. May is the best, and you will be able to hear her lovely voice and her kind, warm heart. And just know that she is the hero that is, you know, helping you anytime you have challenges accessing the course or any other kind of questions. It's almost always her. That is
ultimately solving your problem. Oh my goodness. Oh, before I send you over to that awesome conversation, I do have to tell you one more thing. I have been a busy little Canadian beaver over here. I have been working so hard to create very, very cool things for all of you. And one of those things that I have been working on, and May has helped me with the tech, of course, is a free quiz to discover your main psychic Claire, your main psychic gift. I worked so hard on this quiz. It's totally free. I'm really excited to share it with you. The answers, the read up, oh man, like I went pretty deep with those because it's my objective as always to actually give you valuable information. So if you're the kind of person that loves personality quizzes, you will love this. So you can find the link to that in the show notes. You can find the link to subscribe to the new private podcast, the Akashic Guidance private podcast, in the show notes as well. And and the Spirit Guides Workshop. And without any further rambling on my part, here is the conversation with the lovely May. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I have such a treat for you today. I have May, like the famous May, who answers all of your emails and provides all of your tech support and basically keeps this business afloat. You know, I would say single-handedly, but obviously I do my part too. But on all the tech aspects, she single-handedly keeps this operation happening. She's also the podcast editor. She's your go-to person when you don't directly access me. And today, May and I are going to talk about the entrepreneurial journey. She didn't provide me with a bio, okay? So I can't give an official one, but she does a lot of things, which I will ask May to explain. She's just a very entrepreneurial spirit, a very creative spirit. And we're just going to have some real talk about what it actually means to be a trailblazer and, like, you know, go off the beaten path of employment and guaranteed paycheck to do your own thing. It's a labor of love. It's a lot of fun, but it's also tough in a world where the consumer audience, I guess we could say, myself included, we've all been sort of trained to expect Amazon level service, even from small, like, solo entrepreneur ventures. So welcome, May. Let's dive into this juicy conversation.
I'm so excited. I don't know how famous I am. Maybe in your world, like May from Team Amy here. Yeah. And I don't need a bio. If you know, you know. You know, you know. If you're part of Amy's world, you know. You know who I am.
And if you're new, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, then, you know, feel free to reach out with any kind of feedback or question, and you will encounter May.
Yeah.
So May, will you give us a background on who you are, where you are, how you got to be here on your journey, like, you know, spiritual awakening wise, but also as a creative entrepreneur, because kind of they go hand in hand in you. They're mixed. They're one and the same.
Yeah, they are very much so. And like, what a time. That's my story. You know, I was always very intuitive. Like as a child, I would dream and I would just like have these knowings, just know things. And, you know, I can think back to specific instances where I would just like blurt things out. It was almost like it wasn't me, like this human me that was speaking, but like I would just be talking about stuff or I would say things and my parents would be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? And then there would be like this snapback moment where I would kind of come back into this human and be like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I can remember the moment where I was like sharing this recurring dream that I had with my mom. And it was a true thing that I did not know about, but it was a thing that actually happened I was 2 months old, so I guess in my life and like in my parents' life, and I had this recurring dream about it. And I remember telling my mom, and I remember the look on her face, and I remember her being like, how did you know that? Like, what do you mean? And I remember that moment as being the shutdown, you know, like the shutdown of the intuition where you kind of go, oh, maybe this isn't as normal as I thought it was, you know, like I think that's something that we all experience. And then fast forward, probably 15 years later, I just started with like this insatiable thirst for knowledge, like all things spiritual. So I wouldn't say that I had this, you know, this pivotal moment. And like, I've edited more than 100 of these podcast episodes. I've listened to people's spiritual awakening stories. And there's this almost like this thing in this spiritual community where it's like, if you haven't had this traumatic experience or this fearful experience or this painful thing that happened to you, then maybe it's not, you know, if that those are always like the catalysts for a spiritual awakening. And in honoring those experiences that people have had, I, for a long time, did not think that I ever had a spiritual awakening because I didn't experience those more traumatic or, you know, painful events. Mine really started with this insatiable thirst for all things spiritual, with started with the tarot cards and the oracle cards and the crystals and the reading the blog posts and all of that kind of thing. And really, it all just brought me back to this creative side of myself that was really squashed when I was a kid, like this creative, this intuitive side of me that was like, well, you know, you're not going to make money as an artist. You can't, you know, write poetry or write stories and be successful. And it's not true, right? It simply isn't true. And so here we are. I'm trying to keep this as short as possible because, like, man, this could be a really long story. But now, you know, I've done website design. I do all the back end stuff with you, and I love it. I love that like structure in the systems, and the Virgo in me loves all of that and the organization so much. And I have
the Pisces in me loves the Virgo in you, May.
I know. I love it. And now, you know, I have I started a surface pattern design business. So that's like creating designs for things like fabric and wallpaper or like tablecloths or anything that you see a pattern on, right? Someone designed that pattern. I also have a kids brand where I like write stories and books and create journals and really like awesome things for kids. And, you know, I've done website design and just like all the things creative. Like now we're here.
And did you like, so was there a point where you were like, I am not doing the employment thing anymore? Or do you still, if you need the money, will you do like short-term employment things? Or were you always kind of like, I'm never doing the employment thing. That's not my blueprint. How did it go?
Oh gosh, no. I went to university. I did this stereotypical, in air quotes, normal thing. I went to university. I got the degree. I got a job. I first worked as a manager at a hotel, housekeeping manager. And then I went from there. I worked in foster care for a little while. And then I decided to go back to school. And that really, me deciding to go back to school was one of those moments that I could feel my intuition like coming back. Like I could feel that side of me starting to weave its way back into me, back into my, you know, my field and my energy in a way that I was conscious of. And what I mean by that is like, I had no plan for going back to get a master's degree. I got accepted to McGill in educational psychology. And so I moved to Montreal and I went to McGill and I have a degree in educational psychology. And it's like, why are you doing that? I don't know. And that was legit the answer. Well, what are you going to do with that degree? I don't know. But I know that that's where I'm supposed to be. I know that that's the next right thing to do. And so I actually, just before I went to McGill, I went and got a yoga teacher training certificate. So I am a trained yoga teacher for both children and adults. And then in my educational psychology degree, I was able to create my own sort of thesis. I didn't actually write a thesis. I was able to create a project and carry it out and you'll present it at the end. And so what I did is I taught yoga and mindfulness to children who are hard of hearing or deaf at the Montreal Oral School for the Deaf. And I wrote a book about it. And that was when I started creating resources online for teachers and parents, for anybody who has any kind of interaction with kids, which has morphed into what is now my kids' business. I remember going to the school guidance counselor at the end of the 2 years, the end of that degree. And I was telling her about like this book that I wrote and like this experience that I have teaching these really awesome kids and the, you know, the resources I've created and the things that I was sharing online. And this is also a very pivotal moment where she just looked at me and she was like, "Why are you here?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And she's like, "You very clearly know what it is that you want to do. So why are you here?" And I was like, "I guess I just needed someone to tell me that I'm not crazy." And she's like, "You're not crazy." So I started my kids' business. I did work as a teacher for 3 years, kindergarten, elementary teacher. And then, you know, the panini hit, all of the things, and you know, teaching has become, even before 2019, teaching has become very political and just not my vibe. And so in 2021, I left teaching and I'm not going back. That the end of my teaching was the end. No jobs. Living on the edge now.
Yeah, it's a whole different world, isn't it?
It's a whole different world.
Right? It's an edge. Like sometimes, here's the real truth that I have learned. But I also knew, and like I knew this going into it. So it's not like it took me by surprise, but I do feel like it's important to say, especially nowadays, because there's all these targeted ads. We've talked about it, but like create your course and have time freedom finally. And it's like,
just kidding. Who has time freedom? I don't know.
Time freedom. I worked like, you know, I mean, I worked like an 80 hour week as a midwife, but that was perfect training to work as a solo entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And in a sense, there is time freedom because you get to decide sort of when you're going to work on what. But I say sort of because this morning I'm working on my slide presentation for module 2 of Into the Akasha because it's happening this afternoon. So whether I'm inspired or not, it's fucking happening right now, you know? So there's not complete time freedom, but the point I want to make is that there's a lot of razzle dazzle on the internet about how, oh my God, if you just leave your job finally and go down the entrepreneurial path, everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. And you're going to like, you're going to have a 100K launch and you're going to be mega rich. Maybe. Some people are really good at it. Some people are really good at messaging, really good at targeting, like getting into the head of their ideal client or ideal customer, and they might just like hit the pavement and running, you know. But regardless, there are a lot of peaks and valleys in the entrepreneurial journey, and you have to be able to ride through those low periods. And when I say low periods, I mean like
low.
For me, they have been like panic attack, I'm going to die, like I have no money, I have no time to sell anything new, like I can't even sell readings because all of my time is used up in the programs and the things I've already committed to. I have no money coming in. Oh my God, how am I going to pay this bill? Oh my God, how am I going to pay May? You know, panic, panic, panic. Sometimes the lows are just like fucking burnt out and I'm exhausted. And does anybody even care? And does any of this matter? And should I just pull the plug on the whole thing and start a bougie cleaning business, cleaning people's like fancy ass cottages? You know, like, There are highs and lows, but if you are truly an entrepreneurial soul, there, it's like, this is the ride we're on. Like, ain't no going back to employment. It's just not happening.
No, this ride is worth the not 9 to 5.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I couldn't go back and do it. And like, you're so right. I saw a meme actually probably on Instagram. It was like, you quit your 40-hour a week job to work 80 hours for yourself. And I was like, ain't that the truth? And it's so funny because, like, you know, we do have that time freedom in the sense that, like, if I have an appointment, like, I'll just send you a message and be like, I have an appointment at this time. I'll be back home at, you know, this time. So send me, you know, feel free to send me all the messages, but I'm kind of unavailable at that time or whatever. But, you know, we don't work weekends. Like, I don't work weekends and we don't have Monday. So, like, you and I, we take personal days on Monday. So we have a 3-day weekend every weekend. But the reality is that I'm working in my business those 3 days, right? So, like, I'm those 3 days that I'm not working with you, I'm working for me.
Yeah, so, you have to work a lot because you also, I've thought this before, just haven't said it to you, but I'm like, okay, I know you have at least one other client that you do this kind of work for. And then you have a temporary client. I don't know if you guys are still working together, but you're helping her migrate her whole, like all of her courses and programs off of Kajabi in the same way that you helped me do that last year. And, but then you also have your own business. And so like, honestly, I was just sort of like, damn, like May has some serious time management skills. I can personally say that I don't have those time management skills. I've had to learn them because I love this business so much that I'm not willing to, you know, compromise it. But you, I think you're just very naturally organized, which I'm sure helps. But I understand also that, like, even being naturally organized it helps you to work like smarter, not harder, which is very important, but it still doesn't stop your work week from being 80 hours.
No, it doesn't. And like, I am the Virgo-iest Virgo you will ever meet in your whole life.
I love it.
And I like the organization, the structure, like, I don't know what I would do without it. I really don't. And I've also had to learn a lot of boundaries just so that I can show up for my own business. And so that I do, like, there was a time where I would get up, you know, before I started making money in my own, and, you know, you were essentially paying my bills, right? So like, I would get in the morning and just immediately start working on all the things that I had to do for Amy or that I had to do for like this other client or, you know, whatever it is. And nothing ever got done in my own, because by the end of the day, I was so exhausted doing things for other people that I had nothing left to give to myself. And so, you know, we've worked together for over 2 years. And like, I was reflecting on those 2 years just this morning, like, and, you know, thinking, knowing that we're hopping on here. And like, we have been through some shit together. Mm-hmm. We've been through some shit together, both like personally, like individually, and, you know, together. And I think that we've been like really powerful mirrors for one another over these last couple of years. Like, you know, there have been times where we've been really, really powerful mirrors for one another. And like, you were definitely that mirror for me that was like, I need to set some boundaries and be, you know, set myself up, right? So that I'm not relying on other people. And so that I'm not like burnt out all the time. And so, you know, now I get up in the morning and I create something until 10, 11 a.m. my time. You know, just that little bit of creation goes a long way. Like when I'm doing it every single day, creating a new pattern for, you know, I was working on an Easter pattern this morning before we hopped on here, right? Creating a new pattern doesn't take a long time. You don't have to sit down and do something to completion, but you do have to make time for it.
Yeah, you have to work on it and advance it. I mean, it's funny because it's to what you're saying about us being mirrors for each other. It's really a similar thing on my end where this is the first year, like when you mentioned that we both take personal days on Monday, this is the first time that I've done so. And it didn't start in January. It started in February. And I've had to, like, even yesterday was technically my personal day, but I found myself working on things that I wasn't able to get done last week. And I had to put the timer on for 40 minutes to just not, it's like, it feels like I energetically have to push literally everyone out of my field, my children, my partner, like everybody, clients, audience, friends, everyone out of my field and just take care of Amy because I can't, like, I'm bottlenecked energetically if I don't do that. And I also realized this is really hard. I'm still holding my feet to the fire, but kind of like what you're saying, if I don't, if I prioritize the same as, yeah, the same as you, if I prioritize client care right away, as soon as I get my kids dropped off at school, then I don't get the things done in my business that I need to get done. And that's why, you know, for example, I don't have great consistency on social media. I'm doing much better in Soul Space right now. Instagram's a little bit trickier because you always have to have a visual to go with it. It's fucking annoying. Anyway, yeah,
Instagram is not the vibe.
Yeah, not the vibe. But it's, you know, it's been really hard to make those or to sell, like, and I have to sell, otherwise I don't have any income. And then yeah, I have to go get a job and, or start a different business. And I can't create this podcast. I can't like do the things, you know, it's just, it's a lot of balancing. And the fun thing about being an entrepreneur is that you don't have a boss. So yeah, you can't be pissed at someone else for the bullshit you've created.
Yeah. And that's a hard pill to swallow too. Like when you first start out, or like when things shift up and you're just like, oh, this is actually on me. Like mm-hmm, this is a me thing.
Yeah. Like well, I'll tell people right now, I'm like, I feel like I always have too many plates spinning, but it's really interesting because clearly I am the one creating that. Mm-hmm. Why am I creating it? Like, I can't blame my boss for putting too many things on my plate because I am my own boss. What's that all about? It's an old pattern, right? Like, it's an old pattern that I witnessed in my mom, and it lives in my blind spot. And I will bizarrely fill up all of the empty space in my calendar without really fully realizing what I'm doing until I'm in the middle of delivering on it. And then I want to die. Like when I did that Akashic flash sale. And it was great. I loved it. But holy moly, that was like 6 weeks of multiple readings a day. And by the end, I was like, I am literally going to die. And I'm pretty sure that I'm phasing out readings because it's not, except in the way that I'm doing it, where like, surprise, oh my God, I'm putting a few on sale. Woohoo!
Yeah. You know, but even then your schedule is like twice a week. Like I was stressed for you in those 6 weeks at the end. This was at the end of 2023. And mm-hmm, I was like, I don't know how you're functioning right now. Mm. I mean, I don't know how you function anyway. You're a Manny Gen and I'm a manifester. So like, I don't have that generator energy that you have anyway. So most of the time I don't understand how you function anyway. But like those 6 weeks I don't know how you made it. You made it. I don't know how, but you did.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that.
And never again.
No, never again. That was it. Everybody who got in that time, good for you. That will never happen again because I will actually literally die. I'm like, it sounds like I'm dramatizing, but I'm not. I can't even keep my 2 feet on the ground when I'm in the Akashic Records that much. It's almost like I can't. You know, I'm not safe driving. I can't, you know, I can't cook. Like I'm way out in the ethers. I'm not on planet Earth. It's too much. My human being needs to be here on
Terra. It takes a lot of energy. Like doing an Akashic Records reading, it takes a lot out of the reader. It's a lot. It's real. And like, you don't know what's coming up in someone's readings. And, you know, you can channel some really heavy shit. And like some mm-hmm, really big things. And it's a lot.
Yeah. Cause you read Akashic Records as well for people in the know.
People in the know. Yeah. Yeah. I used to offer, you know, I've gone through a few different seasons of business and I used to offer like coaching and Akashic sessions and things like that. And that was one of the things that because I was so like zoned in on Instagram and like seeing all these other coaches and, you know, offer this thing and offer this program and kind of continuously do all of that. Even though it was something I really never wanted to do, I never wanted to be a coach, but it was like, here's all these coaches have coaches and there's a coach for this coach's coach and let's all be coaches. Yeah. And my dogs are barking. Just 1 second.
I love what she just said about coaches. It's so, so true. And actually, as an aside, while May puts her dogs elsewhere, I have felt personally so like if I have not wanted to use the label coach for myself because I think because of that, because the oversaturation and all the hype and insanity in the Instagram coaching world. And only just like, honestly, this past week, I was like, you know, I think I can call myself a coach because I do two different things. So mentorship to me feels like, let's say you want to be a channel, you want to be an Akashic reader, or you want to just like amplify your psychic abilities, your healer abilities, or like deeply step into your soul mission. And you want mentorship guidance along the way. I offer that, but I also offer like a form of coaching through the Akashic Records, which is like, I actually do love getting down into the nitty gritty with people, into their shit and pulling through the guidance that helps them to unravel, you know, uncomfortable situations. And I was like, well, that technically is coaching. Just fucking call yourself a coach, Amy. Like, just admit it. God damn it. But yeah, I just love doing that kind of stuff with people and offering that support, but it's not for everybody. And it's so true in starting like around just the pre-COVID, but especially around the COVID point, everybody started their coaching business and it was like hype. Oh my God, this coach and like, you know, $70,000 months and $100,000 months. And like, it was crazy.
It was a lot. And like, it took me a long time, but I've like removed myself from those people's energy because it's not the vibe I want to be in. And like, I mean, I have nothing against coaching or anything or any of that. It's just not for me. But I just found myself like stepping myself into that box of like, here are all these coaches. This is the thing you do. And I think, you know, at the time, this was a few years ago. So like at the time, it was, I'm leaving my teaching job and I have no idea what I'm going to do, but here's all these people who are being coaches online and I don't know what else I can do online. Like, I don't know what else I can do working from home. Mm-hmm. I just know that being in, you know, a 9-to-5 employee is not for me anymore. And so I found myself basically in that same pattern of like stuffing myself into different boxes. Right. And then I just said, I'm not anymore. And so I do Akashic readings if you're in the know. But yeah, I've really like leaned into my creativity and brought that back into my life, and we're not going back now.
Yeah. And to what you were saying before, Akashic readings, it's really hard to, I personally believe, but you know, if you're the exception to this, don't limit yourself because of what I'm saying. But my observation through my own experience, as well as others, is that it cannot be your bread and butter. Like single Akashic readings cannot be somebody's bread and butter for very long. It's just so for everybody listening, what I wish you would understand about Akashic readings, because I get it. You hear about like, oh my God, somebody has this magical ability to see my past lives and see my soul contracts. And like, I don't want to learn how to do it for myself. I just want, like, can't you do it for me? Yes, we can. And we'll only be able to do it for so long. And we'll have to raise our prices eventually because I'm sure like people like therapists totally get what I'm saying. And that's the shitty thing is like therapy, counseling, all have these terribly dysfunctional pricing models. And I know it's to be accessible for people, but at the same time, like at what expense, you know, like people working in this model get very sick. I got very sick and I'm not willing to do it again. And I'm also not willing to not be the best mother for my children that I possibly can, which means having the energy to take them to the beach in the nice weather or take them to an indoor playground and play with them on the, like, I have to have that level of energy for them. I don't want them growing up and feeling like I gave the best of myself to a bunch of random strangers on the internet. Like that's how they'll see it, you know? But the thing I wish people knew is that say if I was still doing bread and butter Akashic readings, like that's my main source of income and that's my business model. to go to do, I think I could not possibly do more than 5 in a day. And even that would probably start like triggering migraines and things for me because it's so much. Like I am in a human body. I cannot be connected to that field and connected to somebody else's energy like all day from, you know, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's just too much. And the thing that's really hard about it is, you know, so you sit down for a reading, you do your thing that shifts you into the Akashic Records. Basically, you're having to set aside your own life as much as possible. And then you're blending with the energy field of the other person. And mm-hmm. that energy field is not always like a pristine, beautiful field. No, and it's not an insult. No, and it's not an insult to the person. It's just an acknowledgement that like we have hidden traumas, we have active traumas, we have bad moods. Some people, a lot of people have some form of entity attachment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have like transitioned spirits hanging around us. You know, a lot of people are in sort of problem mode and crisis mode or whatever, you know, like that's what drives people to a reading often is they're like, I just fucking need answers. Right. So that means their field is kind of chaotic. So you're blending with that energy field, first of all, and putting aside all of yourself, all of your needs, your family, whatever's going on in your own life. And then you're going into the Akashic Records. And just like you said, seeing and channeling things that you could not predict. Sometimes it's really dark stuff, like really intense past life trauma. And the way that I experience it is like, if I'm seeing somebody else's past life, I often feel the emotions of it. So I don't feel it quite as much in my body a little bit, but I experience the emotional heaviness. So then let's say I go through a reading that's kind of challenging and I have a 15 or minute or even 30 minute turnaround rate in between to like pee, make a new tea, like clear that energy out of my field and get ready for another reading. And then also, when am I going to answer my emails? When am I going to answer my Instagram DMs? When am I going to engage with people in my stories? When am I going to post in Soul Space? When am I fucking going to record a podcast episode? Let alone, like, obviously I won't be able to run programs and courses because that requires a ton of preparation. So it's just like, and then eventually, like, let's say I didn't have any ambitions to do any of that other stuff. I just literally wanted to have a reading-based practice. It's still the energetic toll it takes on you to work like even 4 days a week, multiple readings a day. I feel like I've just observed so many people drop off. They like, we can only do it for so long. And if you look at Edgar Cayce, like the famous Akashic Records guy, he died, y'all. Like he died. He didn't charge any money. I don't know why. That's what he was guided to do. And I think that I think it was just part of his soul agreement or something. You know what I mean? But it doesn't, it isn't, that doesn't mean it's the blueprint for everybody, but like he died. He did so many Akashic readings and he died from it.
Yeah. That isn't a wake up call. I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's legit. And I mean, he did a lot. He didn't die right away, but I can feel it's almost like if you don't replenish your energy, and this is a big reason why charging money is important, because when somebody gives you money, it automatically kind of fills your energy pot a little bit, right? And I still have to do my own work to replenish my energy. But if you don't replenish your energy, it's almost like another piece of your energy is taken away out of this human body, out of this earth. Every time you're like accessing and lingering in the Akashic Records on behalf of somebody else to the detriment of your own like physical human needs.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like anybody who knows you, or, you know, if this is your first time listening to a podcast episode, like anyone who spends more than 5 minutes listening to you speak about anything Akashic related knows, like, you can feel that, like, this is your calling, is to do this mentorship and to do this work. And so the comments that come through that are like, well, why do you charge so much? Or if this is your sole purpose, if this is your sole mission or whatever, you know, this is so expensive. Why are you charging these outrageous? We've seen that word thrown around in a few emails, these outrageous prices. And it's like, well, one, because I'm still human and I'm having this human experience and I still have bills to pay. I still have, you know, a partner and children to take care of. And, you know, I'm still human. I want to experience life, and you need money to do that in this 3D world. And two, you deserve to be compensated for the work that you do. And you deserve to be compensated for your soul mission, for your purpose, right? It's this expectation that everything is free because it's your purpose or mission is outrageous. I'll throw that word back out there.
Yeah, I'm going to do a solo pod on this topic because I really feel that it is like, I feel it's kind of like, I don't know, like false light programming. I don't want to call it new age because I don't think it's restricted to the new age. Like a lot of it came in like through the story of Jesus, you know, because he worked a bunch of miracles without asking for anything. But guys, he knew he was going to die.
Like, yeah.
He showed up like 3 weeks before he died and did this. Like,
to do. And he also died from doing three things.
Right. Yeah. In a horrible way.
It's not sustainable.
It's not. And it's also, I really believe that it's religious programming / spiritual programming that was implanted into, like, basically to hijack starseeds, light workers, etc., and sort of keep us in this, in a poverty mentality where you're willing to deplete yourself. It's, to me, it's a martyr program. It's the martyr archetype. It has been so strong in me. Like the early years of my business were characterized by me wanting to charge as little as possible to be, air quotes, accessible to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And I paid the price for it. And yeah. I did that. I ran into that fucking fire so many times before, like, really, it was at some point in 2023. I think it was when I got hit with that incredible grief wave around Killian, and I just could not, like, unexpected. You know, the seventh anniversary took me down as hard as the first anniversary. And I was not anticipating that at all. And I couldn't sell anything new. Like, I just didn't have the energy. All my energy was going into processing grief. And so I was like, oh shit, I'm not making any money. And then I realized, right, because I'm a whole human being. Like, my whole entire life can't be about being of service and being accessible. Like, I really have to appreciate, I have to acknowledge what I need in order to be well and do this work in a more sustainable way. And I think that's true for all of us, you know, like, I'm speaking about it through the lens of my own experience. But I think, like, for example, May, you charge what you charge, and I would never dispute that.
Yeah.
And it's more like, I could totally hire somebody in a foreign country and pay way less than what I pay you, mm-hmm. but I'm going to pay you because you do great work. And also, you deserve to be paid well. Like, if I deserve to be paid well, then you deserve to be paid well. And we all deserve to be paid better than what we are experiencing.
Yeah. And it's just like, even this, and like, this applies across the board. I was watching like a DIY. I love watching like people like flip furniture and stuff. HGTV is my favorite channel. But I was watching this reel where this woman, she flipped a dresser and someone paid her like $2,800 for it. And it was beautiful. And like, all these comments were like, that's outrageous. That's way too much. You charge way too much. That's so ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, if you walked into like the Brick, or I don't know any American furniture places, like if you walked into a big furniture store, you would easily drop $3,000 on a bedroom set or a dresser or, you know, a new couch or whatever it is. So why is that okay? But it's not okay for someone, you know, a local business, a small business, to charge that same amount. You would easily go to therapy and drop $2,000 on a therapy session. So why do you dispute it, or, you know, make a fuss about it when it's an Akashic Records reading? which in my opinion is another form of therapy if you're not into the, you know, like traditional forms of therapy. I've done a lot of like shadow work and Akashics, you know, readings with other people, like not fun. And for me, that was my therapy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the not duality. What's the word I'm looking for? Like the hypocrisy, I guess. It's a lack.
Yeah. And I think it's just like the way we've been programmed. We've been programmed to, so it's like everybody who's writing this comment of like, that's outrageous. Who cares? If the person was happy to pay $28, then like, why are you disputing it? You didn't have to pay it. First of all, second of all, that's a one of a kind piece of furniture now.
Mm-hmm.
It should easily, arguably cost way more than that. And yeah. Second of all, it's like, why, you know, it's just, we have to understand that there is like IKEA level of accessibility and IKEA level of quality. And then there is, you know, small batch creation, small, like small business production pricing and small production quality. And, you know, like when I was explaining long-windedly, I'm sure nobody loved that intro, but I don't care. This is my podcast. And I felt like I needed to explain, but when I was explaining like why the price of my programs goes up so high, which by the way, compared to some people's programs,
yeah,
is like super affordable.
Yeah, very reasonable.
I keep getting the feedback from my mentors that I still have to raise my prices. Otherwise, again, I'm going to burn out, and I'm listening to them, but I'm trying to like ladder it up gradually. But when I was explaining what goes into it, it's like I was realizing, you know, it would be amazing. First of all, if I had a humongous audience, you know, like if I had like an Instagram following of like 100,000 or 300,000 people, first of all, that doesn't guarantee shit, because a lot of people have followings that size and they have not, you have to know how to sell. And that's an art that I'm learning. I'm in a certain weird way, I'm natural at it. And in another way, I'm very unnatural at it, and I'm having to learn skills, but natural enough to have gotten here anyways. But let's say I had a humongous audience. Like we think about the, let's say Gabby Bernsteins and the Tony Robbins and the Joe Dispenzas of the world, who can charge more accessible prices in their programs or whatever, but they already know that every spot is going to fill. So they can afford to charge $97. Like, I would love to have one of those memberships that is not an auto renew, because I don't believe in that. That's why I quit Patreon. But one of those memberships, like there's this author, Rebecca Campbell. She's not my vibe at all, but she has a membership that comes up every year that I see in my ads. And I'm like, that's a really great idea. Someday I will really want to have one of those things, just to invite people on a spiritual growth journey that doesn't cost them an arm and a leg. But I don't have that kind of reach at this point. I don't have that kind of audience. And I have tried charging, like with Heartstar Creator, charging $60 a month. And I'm so grateful to everybody who joined, because you all were the anchors. You were all the ones who fed me while I channeled through, I'm still not quite finished, but a monumental, like I'm like 80% done, monumental body of work, which are basically like multidimensional DNA upgrades.
Yeah, that's a huge program.
It was huge. But you know, not enough people signed up at $60 a month for me to, like, I still had to market so many other things while pouring a ton of my creative energy into this.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I'm trying to make is like, sometimes when you encounter people online, whether you are, you know, thinking of purchasing and you're like a client versus when you, or if you want to be an entrepreneur, like just keep all this in mind, is that I'm not Walmart. I'm not IKEA. I don't have a sweatshop in China producing all of my products for me at a pittance so that I can charge a tiny amount, but still have a huge profit margin. My profit margins are very small, even though the cost of admission to my programs looks really high. My take home is not very high because the overhead of running a business and the reality of creating things when you have no guaranteed audience that is like absolutely 100% going to purchase. It's, you know, like with Into the Akasha, for example, I have to factor in that that's going to take up so much of my time that I can't launch a new program. I can't even launch a new program, never mind run a new program until that one's over, because I have to be able to put my energy into that one. So that means what I pull in has to feed me for a couple months for the duration of the program.
Yeah.
Right. So it's something to keep in mind if you're a purchaser or if you are an aspiring entrepreneur.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot, you know, that happens on the back end or behind the scenes that people really don't understand. And I don't expect, you know, I don't hold that expectation that people who don't run their own business or who aren't doing like this back end work, this VA work, like that you would understand. It really isn't something that you can fully understand until you're doing it, until you're like actually in the back end and understand like putting together the systems and the structures. But there is a lot, right? And like, we don't question the things that we buy at Walmart or IKEA or Target. Like, the cheapest Super Bowl ticket was 10 grand. A Taylor Swift ticket goes for 10 grand and people drop that cash without thinking. You know what I mean? Like, well, they, you know, they just drop that money like it's hot, like it's a fucking hot potato in their hand. And then it comes to something, you know, small business, a local business supporting entrepreneurs. And what? Like,
I did not even know that. I had no idea that that's what the tickets are going for things like that. But it doesn't surprise me, because even then, again, we might assume like, oh my God, like they're just taking everyone for their money just because like, oh, Taylor Swift is so big now, she can do this. P.S. I totally think that she's hijacked. I think she got skeleton keyed. But
yeah,
total aside, but even like, oh, she's so big now, she thinks she can charge these things. Yeah, but like, look at the size of her tour. Think about the logistics of how many people have to get paid for the role that they are playing for that tour to actually run seamlessly. Like, it's crazy.
Well,
we just have to stop whining about money and understand that it's a flowing energy that we all have to share with each other. And if you feel crunchy about it, it's probably because you're not getting paid enough, and that sucks. And you can advocate for yourself or quit the 9-to-5 and start a business.
Well, and it's just, you know, like her or not, Taylor Swift is very much in her flow with money. Like, she makes a bajillion dollars a year. And at the end of the last leg of her Eras tour, and it was like late fall of 2023, she gave every single crew member a bonus of $100,000. She spent like $5 billion just on paying those people.
Wow.
Giving them those bonuses, right? So like, she's very clearly in her flow with money because she can spend that money because she knows it's coming back, right? People don't spend that kind of money if you're like in the scarcity mindset of like, oh, how am I going to make this back? You make bold ass moves when you know, when you're in that flow and you know it's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
She's very so much in her power, you know? Like her or not, I'm not a huge fan of her, but she is very much...
Yeah, it's true. She has accepted her power.
Yeah.
And I really think that's what all of these conversations are moving us towards. And they're important ones to have, like, whether it's from the, like, you're thinking about stepping into the entrepreneurial world angle, or you are just like understanding the breakdown of things that you're interested in buying and like what really goes into it and what that price tag is covering angle. Regardless, what we're all being guided towards is accepting our power and not settling for the status quo paradigm with money, where we just don't have enough and we're pissy about it and we're like mad at each other and resentful of the, you know, like, and it's not just about me. It's like, I don't care. Thankfully, I'm at a place in my life and in my business where it doesn't hurt my feelings anymore. It used to a lot when people would criticize my prices. Now I'm like, it's fine. You just don't understand. It's okay. I'll explain it. maybe I will, maybe I won't. Depends on how much energy I have at that time. But you know, like even if we're complaining about the price of a dresser that somebody flipped or the price of an article of clothing, it's like, this is not the vibe. This is not where we, this is not a powerful, creative level of consciousness. And understanding what money is and what can be created when we allow ourselves to step into a more open flow with money. And again, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm not trying to tell you to spend money on my things. What I'm saying is when you can flow money in a way that is less about the crunchy, like feeling inside of yourself and more from the like, ooh, I see how this money not only pays for the direct thing, but like fans out and juices up like so many other areas of life and pathways of creativity and stuff, then we start to change our lives basically in our experience with money.
Yeah. And it's not like that's a process. Like that's something that's taken me, you know, personally years to learn. And I don't think that particularly around money, I don't think that there's an end point, right? Like when you start calling in or you have a higher cash flow, then, you know, new things are to be learned. Like, okay, I have more money coming in. Like, where do I put it? Where do I direct it? Because if you're still holding patterns of spending, you'll find something to spend it on. So, you know, that's where you get to look at like, oh, I want to like invest or I want to max out my TFSA or, you know, whatever it is. I think there's always a new level of expansion, a new level of flow to tap into.
Yeah. It's an ongoing journey, but it's so worth it. It's so exciting. The entrepreneurial / money journey is like, I will never get off this ride ever.
No, me neither. And like, yeah, like you were saying earlier, the highs, the lows, the dips, you know, the valleys, the mountains, it's a lot and it can be overwhelming. You know, those moments of like, what did I get myself into? Why did I do this to myself? The anxiety, the like, where's the money coming in? Like, where's the flow? Like, I wouldn't trade it. And there have been times where I've thought, maybe I should go get a job to like supplement, even like part-time job to supplement a little bit. And I can't.
Like, no, same here.
Everything in me is like, no. Mm-hmm.
Even in my lowest lows, like I remember October, November, December of 2021. No, 2020. Yeah, 2020. I hardly made anything and I was panicking, but it didn't even occur to me to go get a job. I was like,
no,
there's some other solution. I will find it, but it's not an employment. May.
You get real crafty, real fast when you're an entrepreneur. And I think that you open up like these different pieces of yourself that for a lot of people, it probably didn't even know were there, right? You open up like these different, like, I'm just getting this vision of like these little like doors on your body, just like opening up, like you expand in ways that you can't even think are possible when you're on this side of it. And there's no going back.
Yeah. Come on in, guys. The water.
Go buckle up. Yeah. There's no getting off this wagon. So you might as well just buckle up.
And you probably truly won't even want to. Mm-mm. Yeah. What would you, in our remaining minutes, what would you like to convey as the back end tech person / customer support person? What would you like to convey to the audience? Yeah. So that they know to have the best experience when they do interact with our business, whether it is through a paid avenue or just like a free, like, I have a question, I have a concern, I have whatever.
Oh my gosh, so many things. The first thing that I would like to convey is that when we sat down to record this podcast episode, you said to me, I have to be done at 11:30. It is now 11:38 and we have clearly gone over. And so I think this is prime example of like how, you know, this is the kind of thing that happens all the time on the back end that maybe people, you know, people don't understand. Like, we're already 8 minutes over. Mm-hmm. and we're not done. So, you know, prime example, I think, you know, when it comes to communication and really like setting things up and doing things on the back end is like, there's not such a thing as too much communication. You know, send an email and send all the details. Emails like, can you help me access this, the program, are not helpful. Like, I don't know what program you're talking about. I don't know what module you're talking about. You know, send all the information. Even if you think it's like too much, it's not. I promise you it's not. And on that note, send an email. We don't answer DMs. Neither one of us check them. We don't check Facebook messages. We don't check Instagram messages. You know, we don't keep up with those kinds of things. It's frankly, it's impossible. We couldn't do it, right? I would spend hours and hours a day flipping through Facebook and Instagram DMs and answering and having those conversations. And it really just, it's not possible. Send an email. May from Team Amy here will respond.
That's right. May will say, hey, it's May from Team Amy. And she'll give a little waving emoji.
Wave emoji.
And May is very responsive. Like, unless it's one of her days off, like, we don't work on the weekends. So you will not get customer support on the weekend because it's only the two of us. But she, like, on a weekday, unless she is at an appointment or something like that, then she's like very responsive. So the good thing about emails is, number one, you can put a subject. So if you're, you know, taking the psychic activation course, and one of the modules videos isn't playing and you need May's tech support, then you can put in the subject line, attention May psychic activation course. And then she knows right away, like, okay, this is a more urgent, like prioritized message, and she can get back to you. And like she said, I have over 70 programs that I've created, my friends. So like, she does need specifics. What program are you
obvious to you, like what program you're having a problem with, but it really is not obvious to me.
Yeah. And then two, the emails, like even if you're just asking a question or you're just responding to a podcast or an energy report or something, and you don't necessarily have, I don't know, an objective. Like, somebody messaged yesterday to ask about Galactic Gateway. Mm-hmm. May was able to answer the first layer, and I answered the second layer later on, but it's so clear in emails, and she does a really good job at keeping my emails organized. So the messages don't get lost. They get categorized and tagged appropriately. And so like, it's really easy for me when I have 10 minutes after dinner and my kids are off playing or whatever to check my email and be like, oh, somebody messaged about Galactic Gateway. Sure, I can message this person back. Whereas Instagram DMs, I don't know. I don't know if you're just responding to a story I posted. I don't know if you are asking me a question. I don't know if you're sharing your spiritual awakening experience. I don't know what it is. And so I get very avoidant with, it freaks me out. It's kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to get pulled into a big long conversation when I don't have the capacity for it. Whereas email, I can read it. And then if I don't have the time for it, I can tag it or make and tag it, and we'll get to it later. So email is way more efficient. If you actually want a response, email only, please.
Yes. Email only, please. And it's just one of those things, like, I've had some really awesome conversations with the people in your world. And like, we've reached the point, like, we've worked together for more than 2 years now. And so we've reached the point where people email and they don't say, hey, Amy, they say, hey, May.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. Here's my email. You know, we've reached the point where I know the people who are in your world. Like, if you send an email, I will remember you. I will remember your name when you join a program. I will know who you are. And like, that's kind of just me as a person also. Like, I will remember you. And like, I was saying this to you just a few weeks ago. Like, I hope that when people listen to this episode, now every single one of you better read those emails in my voice. Like, you better hear my voice when you read my emails now. Because sometimes, you know, in the emails, I want to be like a little sarcastic or a little bit more with the people that like I know who've like been in your world for a while. You know, I've built up a rapport with you. And sometimes I get like a little afraid to do that. Because I, you know, the way that you read a message, text message, DM, email, you know, depends on your mood. So like, if I'm being sarcastic in email and you're like in a cranky mood, that's not going to go over well. But, you know, it's, emails, I do respond to emails like very quickly, except for, you know, weekends and holidays. But like, yeah, email is the way to go. I will remember you. I love having those conversations. And it's just, email's where it's at. It's where it's at, people. We love reading the emails. Like, the testimonials, like the feedbacks, particularly with the weekly Akashics that go out, like, y'all have been bombarding that email inbox with feedback. And it's awesome. And we read every single one of them.
Yeah,
so, including... Like, don't think your email goes unnoticed. It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't. It including, like, you know, if somebody has like a concern, or I will always ask that you frame it respectfully. You know, don't just like freak out at us, because we're just two people trying to figure
it's
it
just
out.
Us. These two voices that you're listening to. This is it right here.
But if you have some kind of like feedback or concern or something, like, we read those too, and we appreciate those too. And, you know, it's not just like, oh, we love all the positive feedback. I love all the positive feedback. Don't get me wrong.
We all do. We all have that like praise kink.
Right, exactly. But you don't have to be praising me for us to read and appreciate the emails. The thing is that if you want a response email, if you just want to put it out in the ethers and maybe I will read it in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, then send it by DM. and if I will say to in an email, if you do want to be replied to, just frame it as a question. Or if you don't have a specific question, but you do want a response on something, but you don't really know exactly what you're asking, then just indicate, like, be like, can you please reply to this email or whatever? Because then we know. Because a lot of the time people are emailing just to say, thank you, your weekly energy report totally hit the mark. And then I know, like, cool, thank you. I don't have to reply to that, because there's too many. I couldn't reply to them all. But if you want to reply, just let us know.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And like, even, you know, it, send us an email for everything. Like, don't be shy with the emails. And I know, you know, it's just the two of us. And like, we love to help people. I literally wrote this in an email today, like, to someone today, like, we value and appreciate everyone so much. Like, you could spend your time and money with anyone, and you've chosen to spend your time and energy and your money with Amy. And like, that is, it's so appreciated. And we, like, we respond to the emails, we read every single email. Like, if you're having a problem or a concern, or like there's some kind of issue with like banking or your credit card or a program, or you want more information, like, send us an email. We know we're not a big box company. We read them all. We respond to them all. And I think, I mean, this online space, there's a lot of like panic. There's a lot of panic. that's just how I'll frame that. We won't go down that road. But so let's take a breath, send us an email. And like, we want to help, and we will do everything. And you can ask anybody who's ever worked with me ever. If I don't know the answer, I will find out. I'll find out what it is.
Yeah. And if you ever have a concern with like the payment process at all, like, sometimes, for example, if you pay for something or you sign up for something and you don't get the like next steps email, for example, email me.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes we've had people close out the window, that like the success page after their payment has gone through, and they close it out so they don't see the next steps that are on the success page. And they're just kind of excited, and in the energy, it usually happens when I put on flash sales. Okay. Let's specify that, because I think there's an energy of like, I got to move fast and we got to fucking get on it. And so they close out the success page without properly reading it, because they're in an adrenaline mode. And then they don't realize a stipulation of like, oh, the booking links will be emailed out manually, or, oh, this is how you access your course, or whatever kind of thing. And then sometimes we've had like a person can't like cancel the whole payment or run their credit card a couple more times, or like just things that if you have already paid for the thing and you have any confusion at all, just email May and she will respond to you. It's usually faster and easier to deal with it that way than it is to try and fix it yourself.
Yeah, it's much smoother and simpler as well, because, you know, when it comes to like payment processors and banks and things like that, like once those things kind of happen, it's out of my hands, right? And there's nothing I can do. It becomes a lot more difficult for me to help you. And that really just sucks, because like, I love to help y'all. Like, send me an email and I will do what I can, like as soon, as fast as I can, to get like keep things running smoothly and to get y'all like into your program or whatever it is that you need help with. But when things become out of my hands, that process becomes a lot more difficult. And so always send us an email first.
Always
emails is the gist of this like last 5 minutes.
This final segment, just email.
Yeah, we are now 20 minutes over the allotted 11:30 timestamp.
Yes, so I suppose I really should stick to keep my word and go and finish the slide presentation for Into the Akasha. Hard at work.
But real life, behind the scenes.
That's right. This is sneak peek, real deal.
Behind the curtain.
What would you like to share with the audience about you and the different cool things that you have going on that they can check out?
Oh my goodness. Well, don't worry. I'll put all the links in the show notes. I'll do it myself. Do it myself. Yeah. You know, if you like love surface pattern design, you want a custom design for a wallpaper or a fabric or, you know, whatever, you can find me on Instagram. I don't have a website yet. It's coming. My kids brand is Wolf and Whimsy Kids. So my website is wolfandwhimsykids.com. And I have lots of like journals and notebooks and books for kids, mindful activities and things like that. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Are you still doing website design?
I still do website design. It's also kind of like in the know. If you know,
okay.
You have the studio, OH, like O the studio on Instagram as well.
Okay. So there's certain things
in need for a web design.
Okay. So for website design and Akashic Records, you have to have some kind of in. It's not just to like show up and book it.
Well, this is kind of everybody's in, right? You've become their in. Yeah, yes, but
they are available.
There's no like booking link, so you'd have to send me an email or like send me a message.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no booking link like in the wild.
Okay, not floating around there in the ethers.
No.
Cool. Well, thanks, May. Thanks for this conversation about the realities of creative spiritual entrepreneurship and the behind the scenes of Amy Blair, aka Cosmic Oracle.
It's been so much fun. And like when we hopped on here, we're like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, well, we can both talk, so I'm not worried about it. And we could have talked for ever.
Yeah. Oh, we'll fill the time.
We'll fill the time. Don't worry.
Well, thank you, beautiful listeners. As always, you know that I love you. I really hope that you got something, at least one thing, but hopefully multiple things out of this conversation. Thank you for just sharing your time and your attention, your energy with us. I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, and I'll catch you on the next episode, my friends.
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes, and I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator, and may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. and have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.